From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Governor Janet Mills said today that her administration and a foundation will team up to provide $1.25 million to help offset the loss of federal food assistance benefits. Kevin Miller reports.
Mills made the announcement just 3 days before federal funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is slated to run out because of the federal shutdown. Her office will use $1 million from its contingency account, while the John T. Gorman Foundation will provide $250,000. That money would flow to local food pantries through Good Shepherd Food Bank, while the state's Network of Agencies on Aging will use the funds to offer additional food at community dining halls or through Meals on Wheels. More than 40 million Americans, including 170,000 Maine residents, will not receive SNAP benefits on November 1st unless Congress acts. There's bipartisan support in the Senate for forcing the Trump administration to tap into an existing contingency account to pay SNAP benefits. But House Republican leaders have suggested they'll only call that chamber back to vote on reopening the federal government. Meanwhile, Governor Mills is reportedly talking to Maine legislative leaders about potentially calling state lawmakers back for a special session to consider dipping into Maine's roughly $1 billion rainy day fund to pay SNAP benefits. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Needlepoint Sanctuary in Bangor will resume its syringe service program after resolving a zoning issue on Monday. The organization began operating earlier this year but had to close after only a few days because the site was not properly zoned. Needlepoint's executive director, Willie Hurley, urged city councilors Monday to make the zoning change and allow the service to resume at a critical time in Penobscot County.
You have an HIV crisis. You have a building that is fully staffed, fully prepared to open as soon as you make this decision.
Hurley says the building will serve as a recovery and harm reduction center, offering peer support groups and other services alongside the syringe program. Sagadahoc County Sheriff Joel Merry is endorsing Question 2, which would implement a red flag law in Maine to temporarily take firearms from people deemed dangerous. Steve Missler has more.
Merry's endorsement is notable because deputies in his agency had been criticized for not using an existing law to disarm the gunman who carried out the Lewiston mass shooting 2 years ago. That law, commonly referred to as Maine's Yellow Flag Law, was heavily scrutinized in the aftermath of the Lewiston tragedy because it has extra steps that other red flag laws don't, and because only police can initiate it. Question 2 would allow family members to petition a judge to have a loved one's firearms removed, and Merry argues in a Portland Press Herald column that it would complement Maine's Yellow Flag Law while giving families and police more options to help someone in crisis. Question 2 has divided law enforcement officials. The Fraternal Order of Police opposes it, and an official with the Maine State Police testified against the measure during a legislative hearing earlier this year. The initiative is supported by Ann Jordan, the former head of the agency that oversees the state police. She was also the director of the commission that investigated the Lewiston shooting. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Immigrant support groups in Maine say a new federal rule on work permits will hurt immigrants and employers in the state. The Department of Homeland Security today announced that it will no longer issue automatic work permit extensions to most immigrants who have already applied to renew their permits. Martha Stein with the Portland-based group Hope Act says these extensions were critical in preventing people from losing their permits and their jobs due to bureaucratic delays.
The concern is that people are going to lose their ability to legally work if the government doesn't process the applications on a timely basis.
The Trump administration says the new rule is necessary to ensure proper vetting of applicants, but Maine Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree said in a statement the change punishes people who are following the law and contributing to the state's economy. The director of Maine's Emergency Food Assistance Program is urging hunters to donate extra wild game meat to support residents who could lose their SNAP benefits on November 1st.
Food pantries love getting this source of protein. It's lean, it's healthy, it's local, and demand is growing.
Gus Nelson says the Hunters for the Hungry program allows hunters to drop off bear, deer, and moose meat at one of 26 processing centers. The state covers the cost of processing, and the meat is then distributed through local food pantries. Nelson says the program took in almost 1,000 pounds of meat last year and is aiming for a 50% increase this year. Results are in from the mock election held in nearly 80 schools around the state. More than 4,000 students participated. They strongly rejected question one, which would require voter ID and restrict absentee voting, 65% to 35%. The students also showed broad support for a red flag gun law, with nearly 80% voting in favor. Student election results have often proved predictive of how adults would vote, but this was the first time students were polled on referendum questions rather than just candidates. The district attorney for Lincoln, Sagadahoc, Waldo, and Knox counties is coming under fire from members of the Lincoln County Budget Advisory Committee who are unhappy with her approach to crime. Natasha Irving, who was first elected in 2018, relies on restorative justice solutions in all but the most serious criminal cases. And as Nora Sachs reports, the Budget Committee has decided to signal its disapproval by recommending that her department be defunded in the next fiscal year.
Irving's original budget request from Lincoln County was for approximately $508,000. But at a meeting on October 17th, Lincoln County's Budget Advisory Committee voted 5-1 to defund the DA's office by allocating a single dollar to support it. Lincoln County Commissioner Evan Gutkowski does not serve on the committee, which is made up of local select board members, but he did attend their recent meeting.
They repeated several times, you know, that the commissioners obviously aren't going to approve a budget allocation of $1 because we're required by statute to pass a budget. We're not going to obviously pass a budget of a dollar, but they wanted to send a message in their capacity as the advisory committee just for this exact purpose, to get people to talk.
Not long after she was elected in 2018, Irving sent a memo to law enforcement agencies to let them know that her office would follow through on a campaign promise to seek restorative justice solutions in all but the most serious criminal cases. Restorative justice is an approach that focuses on helping people convicted of crimes repair harm and take accountability for their actions. It also offers alternatives to incarceration and has been shown to reduce recidivism. Gutkowski says the message that committee members like Noble Borough Selectman Richard Powell seem to want to send is that they think, as a prosecutor, Irving is too lenient.
That's more or less the critique, is that many people end up being repeat offenders, but they're mostly focused on people that are suspected or convicted of domestic violence.
Reached by phone, Powell said he and other local officials have, quote, concerns about how domestic violence cases have been handled, but he declined to go into any details about the budget recommendation, specific cases, or Irving's record. Though the committee's budget recommendation is widely viewed as a symbolic act of protest, the district attorney does not see it that way. Irving, who is the first woman to hold the office for the four counties, says when she found out about the vote, she was appalled.
It's a reckless and ignorant action, and we should be shocked as Maine citizens. People in Lincoln County should be shocked that folks that have been appointed to the Budget Committee would actively seek to defund law enforcement.
Irving noted that most of the department's county budget goes towards support staff. It doesn't pay for her wages or for the deputy or assistant DA, who are all state employees. And she says slashing her budget would have major consequences.
If we shut down the district attorney's office, we will not be able to prosecute criminal cases that come in. People who are arrested for domestic violence, people who are arrested for kidnapping, people who are arrested for OUI, vehicular manslaughter, those cases will go uncharged. That is anarchy.
As far as the critique that Irving is too soft on crime, she says,
if you look at the statistics, if you talk to the organizations that do the work statewide regarding domestic violence, you'll see that our numbers in Lincoln County are on par with the rest of the state. If they can point to one piece of data or one case that we mishandled, I would love to talk to them. But there is a reason that they don't have specifics, and it is because this is how they feel about me.
According to Lincoln County's administrator, the budget recommendations will be discussed at an informational meeting on Thursday. After that, the budget will go back to the county commissioners for adjustments, and a final budget will be approved by the end of December. DA Natasha Irving said if Lincoln County does accept the recommended budget, she'll file a lawsuit.
If they think that I'm soft in the courtroom, then I don't think they would think that after we went toe-to-toe.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, health insurance. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.